I will kick it off. So, welcome everybody to the Last Tech Podcast. My name is Eve Porcello, and I am so excited for our first episode to have a true superstar, a killer in the world of DevRel. I want to welcome Rizelle Scarlett. She is a staff developer advocate at TBD, which we'll talk all about today. She has worked at GitHub. She has worked at startups and nonprofit organizations, and she is an incredible speaker, teacher, and developer. And again, I'm so, so excited to welcome Rizelle.
Thank you so much. I did not expect such an awesome intro.
Well, you deserve the biggest intro ever. We'll put in post-production music and explosions and all sorts of things, but I'm super happy to have you here. We've never talked before today, so this is extra exciting. It's always funny to meet someone on a podcast like this, but tell me a little bit about your job at TBD and what kind of projects you're working on right now.
Okay, I'm excited to talk about this because I think there's like maybe misconceptions or people don't even really know what's going on at TBD, but they're doing a lot of cool stuff. First thing for people who don't know what TBD is, it's a business unit within Block. So Block is like this parent company, and it owns Cash App and Tidal and I'm trying to think of others. A lot of Square. And Square and all those other things kind of changed the way that payments were for us. People can just like basically pay things from their phone. Like, they made it really easy for sellers. And also Cash App made sending money easy as well. But another thing that we recognized is that sending money internationally is not easy. And like, I'm not born here. I have family in South America, in the Caribbean, and sending money for me often like includes going to like Western Union, and it's like a lot of back and forth. It's not very quick and easy as it would be if you're like using Zelle or Cash App. Cash App or Venmo or anything. I don't even know if you're located in the US, right?
No. I am, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so you're like familiar with all these. So one of the things that we're trying to solve is making it easier to send money across borders, and we're basically building a tool or a framework to do that, and that we're calling that TB Dex for now. But basically it's a way for people to like be able to embed this into their own like web development projects and enable that like cross-border exchange. Another thing that we're working on that I think is really, really cool is we're basically changing the way that you identify yourself, right? So, or not identify yourself, but right now the process of like identity verification is kind of manual. So yeah. Like if you're like giving your ID or whatever, they're like, okay, like if I go to the DMV and I lost my driver's license, sorry, I have so many thoughts in my head. But let's say I lost my driver's license, I would have to come up with a whole bunch of different things to prove that I am who I am. Maybe like proof of address, bills that I paid, bank statements, all of this. Whereas now we're kind of enabling you to be able to carry some of these IDs and different credentials on your phone. Very, very similar to like how you have like an Apple Pay wallet or a Google Pay wallet where your debit cards are there, your IDs could be in there. Other things like your degree credentials could be in there and all that. So it's supposed to make identity verification online and in person way easier. And then the last thing that we're working on is just basically reusability of your content across the web and who you are across the web. And that kind of goes ties in with the identity thing that I talked about. So let's say you have like preferences for Delta, like let's say you always want to sit on that aisle seat or the window seat, and maybe this time you're going to use United, you'll be able to like take those preferences and use them at whatever airline that you have. So it's that type of reusability. I talked a lot, so feel free to just like ask
no.
questions.
That's all amazing. Are you a window seat or aisle seat person?
Oh, good question. I used to be a window seat person. I used to like to look out the window and enjoy everything. But COVID turned me into like a crazy germaphobe.
Totally.
I didn't want to like touch anything in the plane. So now I'm like, aisle seat person, and I'm just like,
I love it. The door flying out of the plane made me want to be an aisle seat person also. Like, that's very scary.
Oh my God, that is so scary. I couldn't watch the rest of that video because I was like, I can't please a lot.
Very upsetting, very upsetting. That's not the point of what we're here to talk about, but good to know that you're an aisle person. It's a very difficult decision to make. I think, that's amazing stuff that you're working on, and I feel like such an industry that needs that interruption, right? Where they're going to the DMV or having these paper credentials, that's always felt like a necessary thing. But I'm glad that people are pushing that forward so that we can avoid that. I think the payment stuff is really incredible too, just because paying people across borders and boundaries is such, shouldn't be so hard to do. Yeah. And like waiting periods and making people go to a physical location is just like, feels ridiculous when everyone has a phone. So
right, like, why not make it easier for others too? And I think oftentimes when we build technology, we're thinking in such like a US centric or North American like perspective. Yeah. But there's other people in the world too.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that you're working on that. So aside from just working with really cool people, I'm assuming, sparked your interest in working at TBD. Was there something that really pulled you in, made you decide this is the place for the next chapter?
Interesting question. That's a good question. I mean, yes, definitely. Like, Angie Jones worked there. You said, like, really cool people. Angie Jones works there, and I'm like,
I mean, I haven't had a job for a long time. I've worked for myself, but I would want to work for Angie any day. Like, right. What an amazing, yeah.
Right. But I also thought, like, this is so cool, like, to be able to be, like, a disruptor in an industry like this, in an industry that people aren't thinking of. And I'm like, I kind of want to be at the forefront of that. Like, I know AI is booming right now, and people were probably, well, people did question. They were like, why are you leaving GitHub? When they're doing AI stuff, they're kind of like leading a lot of the AI stuff, and you're doing well at that. But I'm like, yeah. And I feel like I did what I had to do at GitHub, but now I want a new challenge. I am a type of person that likes new challenges and likes to push myself more. And I think this role included a lot more coding, and I was like, you know, I want to code more.
Yeah, that's so cool. I think you're also getting to create some of the first documentation and first resources around things that are going to be people's first introduction to a lot of these new areas too. So that's super cool. How do you think about that audience? Developers were kind of the audience at GitHub. How do you think about the people who are going to be consuming your content? What types of things do you, what are you considering when you go out to create something new?
Yeah, this is a really good question, because for our tooling too, developers are the main audience, because they would be building tools around this. Yeah. But like you said, it's like the first time that you're ever thinking about a concept such as this. Because it's kind of hard. Like, even when I joined the company, it took me a little bit of time to really understand. I'm like, how are you taking your identity with you? It doesn't make sense. So I try to like relate it to other things that already exist. And I listen to Angie a lot too. And like that example of like, hey, we already have a wallet in our phone, like an Apple Pay wallet, you would just have your ID in there. That's the type of stuff that I try to think of when I'm creating content or thinking about problems that people have. Like, you know, maybe your college or school shut down, but you need that degree verification. So just thinking about like different real world problems that people are having helps me out.
Totally. That's so cool. So your background is really varied and really awesome. And I feel like we could talk about all sorts of different moments there. But I wanted to ask you for a second, just because I'm super curious about it. The Resilient Coders Bootcamp, how did you find out about that? And tell me a little bit more about your experience there and why you think it's just like this hotbed of amazing developers. Anyone coming out of there is like a killer, you know?
Oh, they are. Okay. Have you heard of 100 Devs?
I have, yeah.
The guy that teaches 100 Devs is the teacher at Resilient Coders.
Yeah.
So, okay, you already knew that. But yeah, I'm like,
I'm asking because I want everyone to know about it, totally. Oh, but yeah, tell me everything.
So, it's a bomb, right? So how I got into it is I was in help desk, like working, and I wanted more of a challenge again. And then I was like, how do you learn to code for free? Free Code Camp came up, but I was like, okay, I'm doing it, but I need accountability. And then Resilient Coders popped up. I think it's the bomb because it is very, very intense.
Yeah.
Come out like great, but it's also free. And then on top of that, you get a stipend. So I think they recognize that like people, it's not easy to just go ahead and just quit your job just to be able to do something like this, right? Like people could always say, oh, just quit your job and focus on learning to code. But then you're like, I still have to pay my rent and buy food. But right?
That's I don't know what people are talking about when they say stuff like that. They live on a pile of money and tell people that. That's so insane. Right.
So I really love that they have that stipend approach. It's also geared towards like low income, black and brown people. So I feel like I started off in this career already surrounded by people like me and having like that community and that group. Because even when I go off to like a role that is primarily not like me, I have that to go back to and have people to relate to. So those are some of the things. And like you come out knowing your stuff.
I can tell. Very much so. What does the curriculum look like over there? Like what were you learning?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's changed because I did it in 2018 and it was 14 weeks. And last time I checked, it went up to 20 weeks. I don't know if it's increased even more. But we started off with like the basics, like HTML, CSS, vanilla JavaScript. He introduced us to jQuery and then like Node, whatever. Basically, Mern Stack is what I got the experience of, and I know they've added on additional stuff. They have like support for maybe alumni who got laid off right now because how like it is. So they're teaching them like some AI things as well to make them more attractive in the job market.
Everyone has to learn a little bit of AI stuff, right? All right, I'm about to cough. Hold on. Sorry about that. There's no way to mute your mic. I found out on Riverside. Oh. There we go. So I got to share that with everyone. Cool. So yeah, Resilient Coders. I am so impressed by that program and I think it's so cool. So thank you for telling me a little bit more about that. When you think about the AI type topics, if you were a developer who maybe was laid off or somebody just getting into this industry, are there things that you would recommend that they look at based on what you know?
Interesting question. Let's see. I would say first off, make sure you know those fundamentals. Like, AI is there, but don't like just skip forward. Like, if you want to just emphasize that.
Start with AI only.
You get those fundamentals down packed. But I think things that are like easy things to start off with, maybe not necessarily building an AI, but like just trying out tools like GitHub Copilot and ChatGPT. Yeah. So you're familiar with how to use them. Mm-hmm. Not relying heavily on them to write code, but just knowing how they can help speed up your process and make you like an even more adept developer. And then of course, other things like if you do want to like build out a few AI tools, there's like OpenAI has abstracted a lot of stuff away from people so that you don't have to be a PhD graduate.
Good. That's not me. Good.
And like Chain as well, Weaviate, those are like really interesting AI tools that people can look into.
So cool. Yeah, Copilot, I feel like you've done so many awesome talks and materials about, and what a cool thing to be able to explain to people, because I feel like you've single-handedly saved people so much time just by Well, I'm gonna say you did it, but it was a team effort, maybe a collaboration. But I think, yeah, seeing some of that stuff is so funny, and in some of the workshops that I teach, it's funny how GitHub has looked at the open source curriculum of those classes, and then it'll like spit out the code for all my students, and I'll be like, no, you still have to type it.
No way. Like,
you came here to work, people, and not have Copilot do it. But yeah, Copilot
in your classes.
Exactly. It's banned. No, I'm joking. It helps people tremendously, and you'll be using it at work. But super funny. I wanted to talk a little bit. I'm going to quote you back to yourself like a weirdo, but not in a threatening way. But I was reading this article that you wrote about supporting early career developers, and you said a quote that I thought was like amazing. You said, "Each developer is also a teacher, whether they want to admit it or not." And I think that is like perfect, because I couldn't agree with that more. Why? I know what I think about it, but I would love to hear what you think. Why do you think a developer's job is to be a teacher as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you go into the role, a lot of people think, I'm just going to be sitting there coding. But you're always going to have people that are more junior than you, or even if they're like on the same level or higher, there's ways that we can all learn from each other. And I'm like, the team is going to grow and really get accelerated if you just share your knowledge with each other. Or you might be like a developer in a different sense, like a dev rel, or you might be like a bootcamp instructor. So I guess that's where I'm coming from. Yeah. Where like on the team, that's to me, part of your role is to also teach.
Totally. Yeah. And I think you've done such an amazing job of that, of just being like, here's what I learned, I'm going to tell you. Even if I think people hesitate to share what they know, because they feel like, oh, someone knows more than me, or I don't want to say something wrong or something like that. But yeah, your experience, like all of your talks and tutorials and things, I feel like is just a great entry point for everyone to get that information in a friendly way. So I love it.
Just, and I mean, it's not all altruistic, like it is, like, I'm not helping people, but like when people are nervous, I'm like, you know, it also helps like hiring managers to like see your growth. Like people right. can be like, oh yeah, I remember when Rizelle was like learning JavaScript and now she's like using DynamoDB or something like that.
Totally. Very true. Yeah, I think it helps with, I see so many folks who get into speaking or creating courses or things like that, and then that's how they find their job, because it's so tricky right now, especially to find jobs and to stand out in a pile of resumes. So, yeah. Yeah.
It is. I feel bad.
Yeah. Tough. That's very tough. So tell me a little bit more. Whenever you're creating a talk on one of these topics or a workshop or whatever, what does that process look like for you? Are there things you always do when you're setting out to make a talk?
I guess I tend to write a blog post first. Cool. or multiple blog posts first, and then I'm like, oh, I could turn this into a talk. Because I've found that the times that I just go straight, I know people do it the opposite way, everybody has their own way, but yeah, like when I just like go straight into like just writing out the talk, it ends up being disjointed. Like some of my talks are like, not all of my talks are great, and I can tell from the audience, they're like, all right, that was good, but like I'm confused.
I doubt it, by the way, but continue, I won't interrupt you. I've seen no evidence of that, but continue.
Thank you. I try to hide them.
Scrubbed from the internet.
Won't ever see them. But yeah, like I like to write it all out, because that allows me to like lay out my thoughts in a way that like makes sense. I'll write out the blog post. I'll see like people's reaction to it. Like I'm like, ooh, just, are y'all feeling that? Were there parts that could be explained better? And I'm like, cool, people were feeling it, or here's what I need to tweak. And then I'll like morph it into a talk. Sometimes I'll lean on like It depends on how I'm feeling. Sometimes I'll lean on like a little pop culture reference. Like I did like Mean Girls the other day, or I did like Soul of the Future. Like sometimes I'm just like, hey, I could do a little reference to keep people engaged. Or yeah. Sometimes I think my GitHub Copilot talk, like Level Up with GitHub Copilot, the one I did the most, that was a little bit like I was leaning on controversy a little bit. At the time, it was like very mixed reviews. People were like, we're not feeling it. And my job was like, yeah, let's just like keep, like my boss was like, you know, we could talk about GitHub Copilot, but like, let's keep it low. And then I was like, oh, actually, I'm just gonna like kind of try it out and see what happens. Cause I'm like, there's so much misinformation. So I kind of like took what I saw people feeling disgruntled about, and I'm like, okay, here's how it actually works, or here's how to actually use it. You feel like it's not working, but here's how this happened. So it really varies from pop culture to maybe a little bit of controversy, or like addressing developers' questions.
I love it, stirring it up. You're talking about Copilot. People didn't like it because it was trying to take their job, or what?
I didn't like it for a lot of reasons. At least I don't know if it was just my timeline, but there was they felt like it was, they weren't sure how it was getting the code. They felt like in real time it was stealing code from repositories, and it's like, that's not what's happening. Or they also felt like it wasn't writing the code for them. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, here's like some tips to trigger it to write code that you want, like write a comment. Like, I don't know. I think people were just like opening up a blank page, and they were like, it's not writing anything.
I'm sitting here with my hands not touching the keyboard, and it's not just finishing my work. I don't know what's going on. Yeah.
I literally have a line like that. I'm like, GitHub Copilot works with your brain in it.
That's so funny. Yeah, just do my job, Copilot. Come on. It's, which it does, quite frankly, but yeah, I think your work has been really helpful, and I see what you mean. That early on, I remember those types of complaints, but it's so integrated, I feel like, into everybody's life that
nobody's
complaining as much now. Fine. Your talks worked, I guess.
Explaining everybody else's work as well.
Very nice of you to say. But yeah, I think, I don't know. It, new things always take a little bit of time to grease the wheels. So you've had a lot of experience with that at GitHub, but also in your new stuff. So that's funny. Yeah. Speaking of the talks that you've given, do you have like a ritual that you do before you go talk? Is there anything to get yourself like pumped up or?
Okay, I listen to, people are going to judge me. I listen to Ice Spice.
I love it. As you should.
She has a line that's like, how could I lose when I'm already chose? I'm like, all right, I need to get in that mindset.
Hell and yeah.
I'm like a different version of me. Like, I like Modest Rizelle off the stage. And I get on the stage and I'm like, yeah, how could I lose? But like, if I don't listen to it, I'm usually like more stammery and nervous. So I'm like, I have to make sure I listen to it.
That is a great takeaway for everyone from this. But yeah, you kind of have to get into like your, it's a performance, right? So you have to put the mask on of confident, no nonsense type vibe. So I love that. Yeah, I think having a song, do you have any like self-care routine that you do after or anything?
Ooh, dang, I really should.
I should too. I was going to steal yours.
I mean, sometimes before I get my nails done, but not all the time.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the conferences, if they're paying your hotel and stuff, they should pay for getting your nails done and your hair and stuff, right?
That's, I always true. Feel
makeup. I've never, have you ever been to a conference where they do any of that stuff? I feel like I've heard of that, but
at GitHub Universe, I mean, they didn't like pay, but they had somebody that put,
that's cool.
Yeah,
if I like that.
I was like, I'm a celebrity.
Totally. Ice Spice in the headphones. Yeah. Unstoppable. That's so cool. I love it. Let me look through my little questions here. So let's see, you, did a talk about accessibility and AI at React Summit that I thought was really good. You built this, you're like, what? You built a React app with your voice, which is like super magical, I feel like. How did you use, like, what kind of tools did you use for this to make that possible? I think accessibility is such an important thing, and you showed that being pretty approachable. So tell me more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could really take all the heavy technical credit for this.
But you still share the information, so that's, we'll give you credit,
So GitHub Copilot has many, like, different versions of itself. It has, like, Copilot Voice, Copilot for the CLI. So I was using something called Copilot Voice, mm-hmm. and it's just a VS Code extension. You talk to it, and it, like, writes out, like, all the code that you tell it, and And there, I think a lot of people who are like not, or at least they have a couple of users trying it out, like who don't have like that physical dexterity in their hands, or maybe they're visually impaired. And I thought it was really awesome that they're enabling them to code easily.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. I am talking to somebody who's a developer and is blind, and I'm going to learn more about the assistive technology of all of that. But it's really cool how AI is starting to support that as well.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Are there any other AI tools? We've talked about several, but that help you when you're creating content or just working as a developer?
I use VideoTap.
Okay.
By Chris Seb. I like it because it'll create little clips for you of your videos. Like, you upload a video that you've created, it'll create clips, it'll create tweets, it'll create summaries, and I'm like, perfect. And it has the subtitles on it. I'll just post a little video clip perfectly. Yeah. And then I use ChatGPT heavily. Usually I'm like, help me write a blog post, and it's so bad that I write it from scratch every time.
Totally. Yeah, some of those blog posts that it spits out, you want them to sound like you, but they just don't. We're all worried about AI taking our jobs, but just have it write one blog, and you start to feel like maybe not right away.
Right.
We're probably safe for a little bit.
Right, or have it generate an image that uses hands. It's always like off-putting. I'm like,
don't look too close at the hands ever. Yeah. That's so true. Eyes sometimes look so weird too. Like upsetting. Yeah. Bone chilling stuff. I know it's not January anymore. I'll try that again. I know it's not January anymore, but do you feel like there are things that you want to, do you have any goals for the year that you're thinking of making happen?
Ooh, good question. Well, one of my goals that I had already made was like to learn other programming languages, especially since TBD's SDK is not, like, they started off with JavaScript, whereas where I'm most familiar, but they're like coming out with like Kotlin, Rust, Swift. So I was like, I'm trying to learn these. I already learned Kotlin so far for January, and it's a pretty cool language. Other goals of mine, this is my first time really stepping into documentation. At GitHub, I didn't have to because they had a documentation team, and like startups, I was just a software engineer. So I really want to like get like excellent at documentation. I want to write clear documentation. So those are like my two like technical goals. But my other goal is to be able to do 6 pull-ups.
Heck yeah. That's amazing. 6 pull-ups is, that's major. How is it going so far?
I could do 2.
That's 2 more than most people. That's great. That's so cool. How do you find time to get those workouts in when you're so busy doing all your things?
I'm not good at time management. I'm not
good. Same. I'm like, that's a cry for help, me asking you that question. You don't have to answer it.
I guess, okay, what helps is like I think we talked before this started. My husband is also a developer, but he's not like me. As soon as 5 o'clock hits, he closes his laptop. He's like, I don't care. I'm on to the rest of my life. So living with him has forced me to be like, maybe I'm working a little too much. Like, I don't know. I like working though. So like when he's like, I'm going to the gym, I'm like, I'm coming too.
Yeah. That is nice to have a person there to hold you accountable a little bit, remind you to leave your desk. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How is it? Have you always been kind of, have you been developers at the same time for a long time? How is it to have another developer in the house?
Yeah, we have been at the same time because we both did resilient coders.
Oh, great.
Cool. Yeah. He would say he always wanted to learn to code, but that is not true. I like bothered him every day until we signed. But it's fun. I think also as a dev rel, it helps me to remember like the experiences of developers. Like I'll sometimes be like peeking and be like, what you doing? Oh, you use Jenkins or CircleCI or whatever. It like keeps me up to date because sometimes it's easy to get stuck in your own dev rel world and think everybody's doing things the way that you used to do them.
Yeah, that's so cool. A little bit of like R&D interviewing that you can do right in your house. That I love it. That's so cool. Cool. Well, I want to thank you so much for being my very first guest on the very last tech podcast. I know that tell me how to find you on the internet, anything else you want to plug, all those things.
Yeah. My handle is BlackGirlBytes on basically every social media platform except Twitch. I'm BlackGirlBytes1. And I can't think of what else I want to plug. I guess y'all should check out developer.tbd.website. Absolutely. Go ahead and check that out. But nothing else I want to plug.
Love it.
If you follow me, you'll see me showcasing my stuff.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Rizal. This has been a treat. Definitely check out TBD's developer website. You have awesome branding. The website is really cool looking and fun. So that's great. And yeah, just everything that you do to make web development and all of these new things more accessible and more fun. I am super inspired by you. So thanks for doing this. This has been great.
Thank you for having me. It was an awesome conversation.
Awesome. Thank you again.
The Last Tech Podcast.